Much for this day. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your goodness, and the fact that you're sovereign and you're in control. Lord, we pray that today as we worship you in this place, that our worship would be a sweet sound to your ear, that it would be a pleasant offering going up to you. And God, as we do that, may our hearts stay focused and completely centered around who you are and what you've done. So God, we pray your touch, your blessing, and just your Holy Spirit's presence upon this place as we worship you today. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Let's worship the Lord together.
Sin, oh, the bliss of this. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
We invite you to stand with us this morning.
Sufficient merit, shining like the sun, a fortune.
Merit now my own.
Reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect.
Dwelling among us,
Send it to hell, yet was raised up.
Thank you. You may be seated.
And it would probably still wouldn't get old. What a blessing it is to be able to sing praises to our God this morning, to be able to lift up His name and to extend worship to Him for all that He's done. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in those songs this morning. And welcome to each of you this morning. If you're visiting this morning, I extend a special welcome to you. You're going to be part of a special service today as we partake in communion, as we take part in symbolizing and memorizing or memorializing the life and death of Jesus Christ found in the bread and the cup. I want to kind of continue this time of worship by looking at Psalm chapter 96 in our Bibles this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 96. A psalm of praise, really kind of carrying on from the song we just finished with, right into the Word of God, kind of those same exact words, those same exact themes. Psalm chapter 96, I'll read this psalm this morning, says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous work among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in His faithfulness." What an amazing psalm this morning, carrying this theme of worship into the next part of our service. Begins by saying, sing to the Lord a new song. A new song. Has the Lord put a new song on your heart this morning? A song of thanksgiving, a song of praise, a song of blessing to Him. He goes through and tells us exactly why we need to do that. It says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." He's a God who is higher than anything else. The psalmist moves on. He says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And tremble before Him, all the earth." We worship a holy God, a separate God, a God who interacts with us, He loves us, and He walks with us in everyday life, but He is holy. He is perfect. He is worthy to be praised. I love how the psalmist ends this psalm at the end in verses 11 and 12. He talks about the creation. "Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fill it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then the trees of the forest sing for joy." We just see God including creation in this worship. What an amazing God we serve. And I trust this morning as we go through our service and as we hear the word preached and as we continue to sing and as we partake in communion, that God is on the forefront of our mind. Not the cares of the past, not the worries of the future, not the things going on right now in our hearts and our minds, but this God who is worthy to be praised is the one who we're thinking about this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You this morning just thanking You for this time. Thanking You for this opportunity to step aside from our everyday life and step aside of the worries and cares of our life and just sit in Your presence. God, today as we've already sung and lift Your name high in song, we pray that as we continue through this service that we would worship You in all we do. Because You're holy, because You're worthy, because You're great and You're sovereign. Thank You, God, for Your saving work on the cross through Your Son, Jesus. Thank You that we as believers can celebrate that today as we partake in communion. Lord, may our hearts, may our minds, may our souls be drawn to You today as we worship You. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Call on our chorister at this time to lead us in our congregational singing.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and doth cleanse every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the joy thou hast given to thy saints in communion, these foretastes of heaven.
Hallelujah.
Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Five hundred and sixty.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all unhealing streams, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There a bright and morning star shed its beams. In the cross, be my glory ever. Your soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its saints before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest. rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand, rest ever. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Mothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Fathers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray.
To bring us our message this morning, and as we turn our focus toward your word and toward the teaching of your word, we pray, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds through your spirit. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22 this morning, if you would. Book of Luke, chapter 22. A very familiar passage. There are a couple other passages in Scripture that we could look at that speak about the same context, the same account that happens in Scripture when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, when he institutes communion, when he shares that time together with his disciples. And I know that as we go through this morning, quite likely I'm not going to say anything new for most of you, many of you, maybe even all of you. But I do think it's good, and as I study this again this past week, or a couple of weeks, just to realize it's good to be reminded. Good to be reminded, even if we already know. It's good to be reminded. So Luke chapter 22, I'd like to read verses 14 through 20. If you want to stand this morning, I'd like to read that together. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Father, we thank you for the scripture this morning, and God, as we go through it here today, may we once again be reminded of all that Jesus did for us. May this be a time of remembrance, a time of celebration, and God, may you be honored, may you be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Want to look at just a few things here from this passage before we take part in the emblems here today. As we remember, it's a time to remember. And the first thing that I want us to remember is to remember his desire. Remember his desire. He says in verse 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. With fervent desire, fervent, eager desire. If you go back in the language, it means he greatly desired. There was no greater yearning within him, a greatly desire to eat this Passover with him, to spend this time with his disciples. He desired to see them. He desired to be with them. And I can imagine we have a child that doesn't live close by, 6 hours away, and grandchildren, and whenever they come, that last meal together, you really enjoy that because you know you're not going to see each other again for quite a while. That's pale in comparison to what Jesus is saying here. I greatly desire to be with you, to spend this time with you, to share this meal together with you. You see, Jesus was not only fully God, he was also fully man. And I think he was looking for this time also to be an encouragement to him, to be together with his apostles, be together with his disciples, to share this time together. It would be encouraging and helpful moving forward, knowing what he knew, what he was going to face. He was about to leave, so this would be the last supper on this earth that he would enjoy with them. Secondly, I think he also looked at it as a time to prepare them for his sufferings. He shared again, before I suffer. He had spoken to them about this before. We all realized they didn't get it. They probably still didn't get it. And even as they went to the cross, they still didn't really get it. It was only afterwards that they began to understand. But he was trying again to prepare them for his sufferings during this time together. And thirdly, he institutes for them, for their use and for all Christians' use, the Lord's Supper, this time together, these emblems together. That was part of it as well. Before I suffer, with fervent, eager desire, before I suffer. Until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God, he says in verse 16. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This meal, this time together that he was celebrating with his disciples wasn't the first time that they had done that together. I believe that he had celebrated the other couple years that he was with his disciples. They would have celebrated that Passover meal together as a celebration, as a remembrance of God's miraculous deliverance of them as a people from slavery and bondage in Egypt. They celebrated that Seder meal together, that Passover meal together. That reminded them as a people that when the blood was applied on the doorposts of the home, there was life. But for those houses that did not have blood over the doorposts, there was death when they were in Egypt. It was a ceremonial observance on earth of redemption and eternity in heaven, when every tongue, every tribe, every nation will celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb for our lives, for all eternity. This was a picture of that, a shadow of things to come. That meal that they had together normally, but Jesus changes it at the end. And we'll see that as well. To remember his desire, he greatly desired to be together with them. Secondly, to remember his actions. Remember his actions. Oftentimes, it's not just what people say, but it's actually their actions that we remember more so. Actions speak louder than words, sometimes, oftentimes. In verse 14, we notice that he sat down with them. He sat down with them. With all that was laid out before him, all that was on his mind, all that he was about to endure, he sat down with them, spent time with them. He was with them. He was among them. He was in the midst of them. And we don't know exactly what that looked like, but if you've ever seen paintings or pictures of the Last Supper, Jesus is right in the midst, generally right in the middle, and it very well could have been that way, of all of them. He sat down with them. Verse 17 says, he took the cup and gave thanks. He took the cup and gave thanks. And then again in verse 20, he takes the cup after supper. Now, these are two different cups with two different meanings. Actually, in the Passover meal, there were four cups that were taken during the meal. Each one symbolized something differently. And in that Passover meal, they pertain to the observance of that Passover meal and had something special to do about remembering what God had done for them. But in verse 20, he takes the cup after supper and he initiates something new. He initiates something new. It wasn't just one of the cups that they normally took as they observed the meal together, but he took the cup again, gave thanks, and initiated something else. Initiating an emblem of a new covenant, something new that they hadn't experienced before. In verse 19, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. Now this bread that they would have had would have been flat unleavened bread, matzo, no yeast. Again, it was a symbol of what had happened with them in Egypt. When God told them to prepare in haste, get ready, you're going to leave. A symbol of haste. It was a symbol of affliction, a symbol of what they had endured in Egypt, and it was a symbol of freedom as well, being freed from Egypt and the bondage of slavery and things there. He sat down with them. He took the cup and gave it to them. He broke the bread, gave thanks, and gave it to them. And I believe forever after, they remembered his actions. They remembered those things. They remembered his desire. They remembered his actions. And it's important also to remember his words. To remember his words. His words about the bread. He tells them, this is my body, which is given for you. My body, which is given for you. And I'm not sure what was going through their heads, through their minds, when he said that to them. But as they would gather and observe this meal after his resurrection, I believe they very well understood what he meant. As they saw him beaten, as they saw him suffer, as they saw him die. This is a symbol, this is an emblem of my body given, broken for you. The bread of life. And in verse 20, his words about the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This is not part of the old meal. This is not part of the old covenant. This is a new covenant. And this covenant is in my blood. A new covenant, a better covenant, better in every way than the old covenant that you've been following, the old covenant that you've been under, the law that you have been trying to follow. This is better. This is new. And it's based on God's grace and God's promises, not on your human adherence to the law. It's God. It's God. About the supper as well, the words that he shared. Verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. When they gathered together for that Passover meal previous to that, and they would observe that each year, all the Israelites would, it was about remembering what God had done for them in delivering them out of Egypt. Jesus is saying to them, do this, the bread and the cup, not in remembrance of what God did for your forefathers, but what I have done for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says. A reminder of his sacrifice, a reminder of his body and his blood, and what he endured for you and I, so that we could have redemption, so that we could have eternal life. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. And in verse 16, the words that he shared about the future. I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This is the last time. And I'm not going to observe this again. I'm not going to take part in this again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. There will be a day, Jesus says, when we'll celebrate this again together in the kingdom of God. Do this as a reminder. Do this as a promise. A reminder of that promise that one day this will be fulfilled in heaven. Even this is symbolic. As the Old Testament Passover meal was symbolic, so also is the communion table, so also is the Lord's Supper. It's symbolic, it's emblematic of what we're going to enjoy in heaven one day. When we gather around that banqueting table and we sup with Jesus, and people from every tongue, tribe, and nation and worship Jesus face to face. And Jesus will participate in that. In that. Time to remember, a time to celebrate what Jesus has done. So as we take part in the emblems here this morning, let us remember. Let's remember. As we think about the Lord's Supper, let's remember his love. Remember his love. He came to this earth. He died on a cross. He shed his blood for your sins and for mine because he loved us. And he loves all mankind. And he wants all men to come to know that fact, that that is why he came. And there's salvation for each and every individual that will give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Let's remember his love. Let's remember his broken body as he was beaten, as he was whipped, crown of thorns placed on his head. The blood flowed down, hung on that cruel cross. Remember his broken body. Let's remember his shed blood. Innocent, pure, never sinned. But shed for you and I. Pay the price for our salvation, for our redemption. And let's remember as well his promise for the future. His promise for the future. One day, we will be gathered around the throne of God. And we will be with him. We will be in his very presence. And we'll celebrate this together. We look forward to that day. Today, we gather to observe and to remember. If you are here this morning and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're at peace with God and peace with your fellow man, you are welcome to come and participate in the emblems here this morning. We're going to ask you to come forward row by row down the center aisle and return up the side aisles after you've received the emblems. There are basins for the sisters to wash feet. In the Sunday school room by the pastor's study, and then if you go through the pastor's study into the conference room, both of those rooms will be set up for the sisters. There are basins for the men in the foyer outside of the fellowship hall. There are also basins up here in these front rooms for the sisters here on my left, your right. For those that don't want to walk all the way out to the back, you're welcome to come up here, the ladies.